You're listening to Marketplace Weekend, where the economy meets real life. I'm Lizzie O'Leary. Now we have a story about how we adapt natural resources for human use. The Nile River has been hugely important to communities along its banks since basically the earliest civilizations. And today, countries in the Nile River Basin are wrangling over who should control it and how its water should be used. In Uganda, the government wants to use the White Nile, a tributary of the main river, for hydroelectric dams. That's sparking a debate between different sectors of the country's economy on the best way to use the river. Marketplace's Kimberly Adams traveled to Uganda and has this report.
You can hear the churning rapids of the White Nile long before you see them, a dull roar that hits you as soon as you exit the car at a scenic overlook. This spot is in a rural area near the central Ugandan city of Jinja. From the overlook, you can see a wide expanse of the frothing river. The lush vegetation of the forest comes right up to the edge, but could soon be underwater. Much more placid water.
The Nsimba Power Dam under construction is expected to deliver the intended 183 megawatts.
That's local media reporting about the hydroelectric dam under construction 25 miles away at Nsimba. If completed, according to the current plan, it would create a huge man-made lake, big enough to submerge the rapids of Kalagala Falls and much of the forest around it. And those rapids aren't just pretty to look at, they're financially valuable as well. These rapids are considered some of the best in the world. They draw professional kayakers who train in the warm waters year-round.
Because once they build that dam, definitely I'll lose the job because all these rapids will get flooded.
Alex Mzungu is a tour guide for the local whitewater rafting company, Nile River Explorers. Tourists come as well, clinging to yellow rafts as guides steer them along the surging river that races through the tropical forest.
Yeah, I've been playing on the water. I had my American team going rafting, enjoying the day.
Mzungu pulls his kayak from the churning rapids, drenched head to toe. He's been a guide for almost 15 years. Mzungu remembers the impact of a different dam, the Bujagali Dam, built upstream in 2012. It shortened the length of the route available for rafting and kayaking, harming local tourism businesses.
Since they built that dam, Bujagali Dam, most of the things changed. All the rapids changed. And we end up losing a lot of people who used to come.
To secure funding for that dam, Uganda made a promise. It told the World Bank it would protect the rapids Mzungu and others currently rely on from future development. Josh Clem is policy director at the environmental advocacy group International Rivers.
The government quite clearly signed this agreement that it would not violate the Kalagala Falls, which are an important area in their own right for their kind of spiritual value and the tourism industry there.
The World Bank says the Nsimba Dam, at least as currently planned, could violate that agreement. It's already under construction. Clem says there are other options. They could scale back the size.
Depending on the height of the dam, the reservoir that would be filled behind it could submerge the Kalagala Falls, or it could be built to a height that would be lower and generate less power, but it could still ensure that the Kalagala agreement that it signed on to wouldn't be violated.
The government says it's aware of the economic consequences of these kinds of projects. Ugandan Energy Ministry spokesman Bukenya Mutovo.
First of all, we have to accept the fact that we have an energy balance problem. Uganda doesn't have enough energy to drive its economic development programs.
According to the World Bank, only 18% of Ugandans have access to electricity. But as Mutovo points out, the country does have a lot of water resources.
Hydropower is, first of all, clean energy, green energy. We try as much as possible to minimize or even manage those impacts because there is nothing that you are going to do that does not have an impact on anything, including human beings and animals and fish and stuff like that.
Mutovo agrees eco and adventure tourism are important for the economy, but he says not important enough to offset the energy gains from dam projects.
We have to choose between two. Which one do we take? Do we sacrifice energy for tourism? Do we run both, or do we sacrifice tourism for energy?
That increased energy powers other industries in the region besides tourism. Like the sprawling industrial complex of steel rolling mills, the foundry previously had to schedule its operation around regular power outages. That's according to plant electrical manager Colombi Charles.
We could be told, steel rolling mills, please, on such a day, from this time to this time, you will have no power. And it used to be. You couldn't help it.
He says with the extra power from the Bujagali Dam, the company was able to double its staff. It went from 8 to 24 hours of operation per day, adding new shifts. That extra productivity helped fund a new facility. Now the company recycles locally collected scrap metal, so it doesn't have to import raw materials. But even Charles says there needs to be a balance between protecting the falls and making power.
We have foregone our falls, several of them, in the name of generating power. Now the question is, for how long should this continue?
Charles feels confident the Ugandan government will be able to figure it out. The tourism industry is lobbying hard, trying to make sure the government does. I'm Kimberly Adams for Marketplace.
Kimberly's trip to Uganda was made possible through the International Women's Media Foundation's Great Lakes Reporting Fellowship.